We got some for him. A whole lot of stacking.
Jalen Johnson. The note.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen's just a real talk expert. He just tells you how he feels.
I have those type of goals and aspirations, and I know to get a yellow jacket, you got to be consistently great. And I think for me, that's my goal, is to consistently be great.
2023 Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
2023 All-Pro.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect when you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
Third down and short. Less than a yard. Lawrence. A deep ball. And that's incomplete. That was intended for Gabe Davis. Jalen Johnson on the coverage. And the Bears fans, who either flew over or live here and get a chance to see their favorite team, are enjoying this moment as time is running out. Bears are going to go to 4-2.
Well, that boy animal, he's a whole goat, man.
Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Jalen Johnson is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Also brought to you by Plumbers 911, plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And this is the big one. It's brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. And I'm here to tell you that Jalen Johnson tomorrow, Bourbonnais, Bradley, Kankakee, you all need to make your way to Phillips Auto Group of Bradley, 1400 Lock Drive in Bourbonnais. Tomorrow, Jalen is going to be there between 5 and 7 p.m. So do not miss your opportunity to come and hang out with the best cornerback in the NFL.
He is the best cornerback in the NFL. Last year, one of us, I forget who it was talking some smack about that, like questioning him even a little bit. I don't even remember who it was.
Crazy.
Yeah, but
he got a different tone this week.
Well, the numbers are here to back it up, Jalen. We saw this before the show. According to Next Gen Stats yesterday, one reception for 5 yards on 2 targets across 38 coverage snaps against the Jaguars. Now, fewer than half of the targets towards you have been completed this season. A 20.8 passer rating allowed in coverage. That is number one in all of the NFL right now as a cornerback, according to the numbers. So you got that going for you now, sir.
That's crazy. Nah, we'll see. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. I mean, it sounds good now, but for me, I need that same number one spot at the end of the year.
Well, the big story is you guys getting another win. And last week you told us that you had never experienced the backups going in at the end because you had a dominant win.
Hey, 2 years, 2 games in a row. That's different. I'll take it.
How about it? You can get used to that, right? That's a tremendous team performance yesterday.
No doubt. I promise I can. And it's really just giving, not even giving, but earning the right for everybody to play, I think, too. A lot of guys, especially guys that get activated at the end of the week, especially with Tariq going down, allowing Amir Speed to go in there and to play, get some reps. Of course, Jay Jones stepped up in a major way, controlling the game, not giving up any big plays. So I think really just allowing those guys to get in there and have some fun. Because, I mean, it's not always fun just being on the scout team and going against DJ and Keenan all the time. I mean, just for those guys to go out there, I mean, it brings joy for me to be able to go see those guys go out there and make plays, especially when offense is clicking, defense is clicking, and the whole team can go and really enjoy the win.
Jalen, what do you think allows for you guys? Like, there were significant injuries in the defensive backfield going into this game.
Right.
And then, of course, then Kyler goes down inside of this game. What allows for you guys to still play at a dominant pace in an NFL game with 3 significant players gone from your defense?
Really, everybody's played before. So, I mean, I feel like a lot of people forget. I mean, most of that same unit that was out there with me, Josh, Jalen Jones, Elijah Hicks, we all played. I remember it was at home, I think in 2022 against Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, I feel like people kind of forget that those guys played early. They played as rookies and they really had a lot of time to develop. So, I mean, when you put those guys out here now with 2 and 3 years of experience, I mean, it's really, it gives you confidence to go out there and continue to pick up where we left off at. It's not too much of a drop off. Of course, they can't replace just what Tyler brings to the game, can't replace what Jaquan brings to the game, can't replace what Tariq brings to the game. But as far as experience and as far as guys knowing what they're doing, being confident in the game plan, being confident in what they're able to do, I mean, there's no drop off in that perspective. So I think for us, just we're going out there being confident. So I mean, it's nothing that we haven't been through before.
Since you brought up Kyler, I think I wrote down before he got hurt his name 6 times. With really
crazy.
so from your perspective, from another player's perspective, how hard is that job that he has, and why is he so good at it?
How hard is it? I think because you have to be able to cover like a corner and be able to tackle like a safety/linebacker. So I think really having those two combinations are rare. I'm not even gonna say aren't easy to do, but it's definitely rare for somebody to be able to do both. And you have to be able to read pass concepts, read run concepts, see guard tackles, pull. And I mean, just even in the meeting room, I'll try to listen. I'm like, I don't know how he's supposed to do all that. They want him to line out here, read this, read that, come in here, tackle him. Then the next play, blitz. And then the next play, you got to go and cover a slot fade 40 yard down the field. And then you have to come back again and do it all over again. I mean, it definitely takes a lot on you mentally, physically, but I mean, he's been able to thrive at that position and he really got comfortable with it. So, I mean, he makes his blitzes look like he's not blitzing. When he is going in coverage, he makes it look like he's blitzing. So, I mean, he's kind of really taken over that role of that nickel spot position.
You know, we're only a couple years removed from that not really being thought of as its own position. Like,
right. Like
we even brought up last week, well, if Tyreek's out, would they ever push Kyler outside and have him be a second corner? No, he's way more valuable to you guys doing that position than he would 100%. Be right picking up the other corner. So it's an evolution of the game in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with the offense, of course, is going a lot less to tight ends in the game and things like that. I mean, really, the one tight end that a lot of teams do have in the game is almost an extended receiver. So I mean, a lot of times, especially like with a guy like Ingram, I mean, for us when he's in the game, that's really 5 wide receivers. So I think kind of just looking at the evolution of the game, that position has definitely came a long way. Because, I mean, really, you'll put your shorter corners in there, and shorter corners kind of got pushed either out of the league or pushed inside. So I think that position kind of gets a little bit of those guys, some of your smaller aggressive guys, of course, like Kyler, guys like Kenny Moore, I mean, Taron Johnson, all those guys aren't guys that you want on the island because of them size-wise, but, I mean, they can still move well, still tackle great, so those guys have definitely been able to take over the position.
That's a great callback by you. Of course, you played in it against the Packers in 2022 when it was you and Jalen Jones and Josh Blackwell and Elijah Hicks. DeAndre Houston Carson had to play.
I was saying DAC, yeah.
Yeah, he had to play a lot. And Rodgers was just 18 of 31 for .182. I remember you guys balled out as a bunch of backups. So you had confidence going into this yesterday.
No doubt. And it's funny because I told the guy, I'm like, man, we've been in this position before, even after the game, reflecting. I'm like, man, everybody don't think it's a surprise. Oh, well, they did good. They held their own. It's like, man, we the same guys that went out there against Aaron Rodgers. And of course, I didn't remember the numbers, but went out there and balled and held that team to very minimal production. So, I mean, for us, it wasn't nothing. I mean, everybody else was seeing, oh, all the backups are in, what's going to happen. And I mean, at the end of the day, Trevor Lawrence is a good player, but he's no Aaron Rodgers in there. What they had wasn't better than what the Packers went. So, I mean, we were definitely prepared and confident going into that game.
Jalen, what's it been like to watch the offense do what it's done over the last couple of weeks?
What has it been like? It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. Just honestly seeing them make plays, seeing them have confidence, really just top to bottom. Even the O-line, I mean, I know guys been killing them in the media and things like that, but I feel like recently they've been holding their own. There's been some times where Caleb's back there almost all day and we're like, man, hurry up, like, get the ball out. But he had that luxury to be able to sit back there because of the line had good protection. They've been holding up, getting better. They've been pushing the line forward and in the run. So, I mean, just overall, I think the O-line is figuring it out, getting it together. I think Caleb, of course, is getting confident, getting I mean, really comfortable. So I think with that, that'll be dangerous. Guys, I mean, we have weapons all over the place. You don't know if it's going to be DJ's number, if it's going to be Rome, it's going to be Keenan, Cole. I mean, we have a lot of weapons on offense. And then big play, Dre been showing up in a major way. So I think really for us, just, well, for them and us, it's definitely something that we just want to continue to build on. And defense, just continue to stop people from scoring best we can and let them boys go eat on offense.
Man. Wonderful is a great way to think about a Bears cornerback feeling as he watches a Bears offense. We're not so used to this ourselves, and neither are you. Like, they got long drives, man. That's a lot of time on the bench for you guys.
I love a good break. I promise I do. So just really just taking advantage of it, not taking it for granted, because, of course, it's not like this is just something that happens every game, week in, week out for 4, 5, 6 years in a row. So, I mean, for us, just really just taking advantage of it. The defense, we know if the offense can score 2 touchdowns max, we know we'll more than likely end up winning the game, because for us on defense, we want to try to give up no more than a touchdown. So I think really just being confident in that, knowing that whatever the offense gets for us outside of, we would say, 17, 20 points is extra. So just really gives us a bigger margin for air.
Caleb has the ability not just to be accurate, but to have like specific ball placement. You see, like, him putting that on the back shoulder for Keenan Allen in the end zone on certain plays like that. He seems to be a pretty special thrower. What do you think as a corner who watches quarterbacks all the time?
No, I've been said it. Just certain throws that he makes, you can definitely tell he has a good feel for where the ball should be, how much touch to put on it. I think too, just getting comfortable, I think, allows that to flourish even more. I think, too, a lot of times when you're in a position and you're not too comfortable and you can't just sit back there and just only worry about slinging the ball, then I feel like that's where some of the other throws can be a little inconsistent. But I feel like just naturally, you just let him go out there and spin the ball. I mean, he has great touch. I mean, he can put the ball in any position on any part of the field. So he's definitely talented. But at the end of the day, we knew that coming in, and that's why we brought him in. That's why he is who he is, and he's just going to continue to outdo himself and be a great quarterback in this league.
A reminder, tomorrow, 5 to 7, Jalen Johnson is going to be at the Phillips Auto Group of Bradley, 1400 Lock Drive in Bourbonnais. So Mantino, Bourbonnais, Bradley, St. George, Kankakee. You're driving on I-57 right now. Make a note to go see Jalen tomorrow, 5 to 7, at Phillips Auto Group out in Bradley. So outside of the football, Jalen, how was London?
I have mixed emotions, I'm not going to lie to you. So, I mean, really just London is what it looks like really on TV. I mean, for me, I don't really know too much about it. I feel like maybe like historically, but when I got there, I'm like, man, this looks just like the movie. So, I mean, kind of just enjoying the sights of it, but it's definitely a different culture for me. So I'm kind of just looking like, man, I don't know how I'm feeling about this right now. So, but I definitely feel like I love the way it looked. It definitely looked clean. Like, people on the streets were dressed clean. Everybody kind of was dressed up. You didn't really see too many people in just like sweatsuits or casual clothing. It was kind of really dressy and things like that. And then it definitely had good malls, good stores. So, I mean, definitely did some shopping there. But I mean, overall, it was a solid trip. I know for like our hotel was super, super far away from like the city and things like that. So it was hard to spend a lot of time down there considering the commute back and forth. But I mean, overall, it was solid. I think for me, I would have to go on my own time and really try to get the best out of it, because I mean, I really only spent a few hours maybe in the city. I want to see the London Bridge. I didn't get to see that. I didn't get to really see like the historical parts of it that I heard about while I was out there. So definitely probably have to do it again.
Yeah, I guess Montez wasn't impressed with the stores and the shopping over there.
He wasn't?
He was not. That's what he was.
I mean, it's crazy because I feel like some of the bigger guys, they were the ones I would feel like complaining, because I mean, they don't have their size. So I mean, maybe it wasn't fun for them because they didn't have 2 and 3 X's. So I mean, Tremaine said the same thing. He was all like, it's cool, but I can't really go shopping because they didn't have a size on. The Europeans don't look like Tremaine and Tez.
How about Hanbury Manor? I know it's a hotel now, but like where you guys stayed, like that's a crazy grounds and kind of old castle type manor. It's been around for hundreds of years.
It definitely was a castle.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yes. Ground creaking and squeaking. I'm like, man, nah. Hey, I'm looking. I'm like, man, this look. That's what made me feel like it looked like the movies. Even like, what was the, I don't know if you've seen the Netflix series, Night Agent. Like the last episode where it was like the cabins and like kind of like castle look. And then we had, I won't even say security. Yeah, I would say security. They're out there, suit, ties, and umbrellas, and coats on. I'm like, man, this looks just like the movies, I promise.
Did it make you uncomfortable? Right. Like, because of, like, how it looked, you're like, wait a minute. Am I in one of those gangster shows or one of those scary movies right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say uncomfortable. I honestly felt, well, because they were protecting me, I wasn't comfortable. I mean, I wasn't uncomfortable at all. But I think just overall, I was just kind of looking like, man, this looks crazy.
So no, but, I mean, it was
an experience.
No ghosts around the corner? You weren't worried like some ghost was going to turn a corner on you?
No. If anything, I was worried about the floor caving in, not the ghost.
The practice field looked really pretty in the pictures that we saw. Did you guys even have a chance to appreciate that, or were you working too hard?
It definitely had like a good sight. So like the field was, I would say, kind of like on top of, I would say like the golf course. So like the field was up top, and then down below was like the golf course, and then out was pretty much like all skies, and then like kind of just, I want to say terrain, if that's the right word, just like kind of fields and things like that. So I mean, it's definitely beautiful depending on the time of the day, but too, a lot of times we were out there, it was like overcast, kind of rainy and wet, so it didn't look as pretty. But I know when the sun came out and was able to shine a little bit, that's when it really was like, okay, nah, this looks pretty cool. So I mean, it had its ups and downs for sure.
Did it feel like a home game? It was supposed to be a home game.
I mean, at the game it did. I mean, just seeing all the Bear fans or the Bears jerseys, because I mean, going into it, people were saying like it's not going to feel like it's at home, like you're going to see a lot of different jerseys. For me, I see nothing but blue and orange, honestly. I seen, of course, you see a few other jerseys from different teams, but for the most part it was loud. It was almost too loud, because I felt like they didn't know when to like cheer. The offense at one point was on the field and they getting turned up and everybody's like, nah, be quiet, like you cheering at the wrong time. So I think just honestly they were, it was loud, it was a lot of energy, and of course we were winning by a lot, scoring a lot of touchdowns, getting a lot of stops. I mean, it was loud pretty much all game.
Yeah, there were 5 Jacksonville fans wearing Trevor Lawrence wigs, and I felt like they just showed them over and over and over. That's all they had. That's all they had. Yeah, that's all they got. We're with Jalen Johnson here on Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. What's your mindset as a team and on that defense after Caleb makes the throw that leads to the interception? He was very hard on himself after the game. But it seemed like the whole team kind of stepped up. You guys went out and gave him a 3-and-out right away, and then the offense put up 4 touchdowns in a row. So I wonder what your mindset was after he threw the pick.
Honestly, it's crazy. I forgot he threw a pick. I'm trying to think of what pick you were even talking about. What was the mindset? I mean, really just going out there and shoot, getting the stop. I mean, it's not – I mean, we – of course, know that it's not going to be perfect every time. But, I mean, for us, it's giving us another opportunity to go out there and make some plays. So it doesn't really do too much to us or for us. At the end of the day, we just go out there and continue to be who we are. It's not like, oh, man, what is he doing? We going to go out there and then get scored on our damn self. Nah. So, I mean, we just want to continue to show up the best way we can, do our part. And there's going to be times where should we give up a long drive and they score a touchdown, and we hope that the offense comes back and puts up some points and kind of cancels it out for us. I mean, even for them, that he turns it over, the offense turns it over. I mean, for us, we want to go out there and get a turnover, if not getting a 3-and-out at least.
I remember you saying at the beginning of the year when people were saying, you know, how good is this team? And you being like, look, I've been told the teams are good my entire career here, and it hasn't quite worked out the way that we want it. Now that you guys are at the bye, you're 4-2. You're in the best division in football, but you guys are 4-2 at the break. How does this feel?
How does it feel? It definitely feels good. Can't overlook it. Definitely been in worse situations. So definitely want to, I guess, take advantage of where we're at in this moment. Of course, having a bye, having been able to get guys back and truly keep taking those next steps. I think too, now it's not like, okay, yeah, like this is our year now that we're 4-2. I mean, shoot, we can easily drop 4 games in a row and then now we're 4-6. So I mean, just honestly, just taking it week by week, opportunity by opportunity, just to renew our minds. I mean, it's a long season. I mean, now we got 11 straight. And I know we got a heck of a November and December with all of our division games, San Fran's in the midst of that. So we definitely got some, we got some games coming to us for sure. So we definitely got to continue to just try to chip away one week at a time, continue to renew our minds, renew our bodies. Because, I mean, to get where we want to get, we're going to have to go through a lot of top dogs, especially in our division itself. And we got to play Green Bay twice, Minnesota twice. I mean, the Lions, we definitely have the best division in football. So, I mean, it's going to take a lot. So we got to get guys to get back healthy, continue to remain submitted to the mission, honestly. So just, I mean, for us, it doesn't, for me personally, it doesn't move me too much right now, because we got a long way to go.
Good for you, man. You know what? A lot of Bears fans, though, and I'm among them, thinking about eventually that Packers game. It's coming. What'd you say, Lawrence?
Oh, yeah.
Week 11? Week 11 with the Packers. I mean, that's just, you know, and Jordan.
Is that the first division game?
No, I think the first division game is
Minnesota first, I think. Yeah, no, that is the first division game. It is. If you come back after the bye, you got Washington and Arizona, and then the Pats, and then Green Bay at noon at Soldier is the first division game.
And then it's a weird thing, Jalen, because you got three division games in 11 days.
Dang. What's that? What we got?
It's Packers, Vikings, and then Thanksgiving against Detroit.
Yeah, welcome to it.
I told you we got some dogs to go through. But hey, we got to continue to do our part. Hey, we started off good, but hey, it can definitely go another way. So we better come correct.
What's top of mind for you for bye week? Are you going to do anything fun? Can you do anything fun?
Can I? Yeah. Will I? Probably not. I mean, just honestly, just take time to be with my family. Of course, take time to be with my daughter. My family, just honestly, just reset in that way. I know there's definitely some more I can do around the house. I know I've been trying to move in for the last few months, so definitely chipping away at the moving in process, spend some time with my family, and then just get my body right, do some treatment and things like that, and then just get back to work.
Do you feel like your body clock is right, or are you still off right now?
I'm probably good now. I know my body clock was off in London. That was also part of the reason why London was a different experience. But I know now, like, of course, getting home, I think we got home at, midnight. So, I mean, I slept a little bit, took another nap, woke up, ate, took a nap. So, I mean, I'm good now. I'll probably be back on schedule tonight and then going into tomorrow. But I know in London, it was definitely off.
Well, the numbers say he's the best cornerback in the NFL, no matter what anybody says.
I mean, why you got to keep twisting the knife?
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
That's crazy.
Oh, man, we can take it. Jalen, you're the best, man. Thank you, sir.
No doubt. Y'all have a good one.
You too. That's Jalen Johnson. Check him out tomorrow. He's going to be at Phillips Auto Group of Bradley. 1400 Lock Drive in Bourbonnais. He'll be there from 5 until 7. That community loves the Bears,
yeah,
and they
do.
Miss the Bears. So the opportunity for a Bear to be out there is awesome. So go see him tomorrow.
Man, he's so much fun.
He is. He's terrific. I have lucked into the best Bears interview of the week on this show.
Yes, sir.
He's
well. Now you're amping it up. You're making it even better.
He's really, really good at this.
He's crazy good at it, and he's honest, and he thinks about it. And now you've gotten a taste for what we love when we ask Jalen a question. We just say, "How does it feel?" And he goes, "How does it feel?" You know, and he like really considers it.
I like that.
Me too.
Shout out to D'Angelo. When we come back, we want to talk about something that happened yesterday after the game, and I've seen some people inside the Twitch chat. A couple people have texted us. Let's deal with this. Let's deal with the fear about the Bears next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Again, Matt Eberflus's team trying to go 4-2. The 2020 team started 5-0.
You're at that point, too, at 4-2. You start thinking about playoffs at this point. I know there's a long way to go, but the way your young quarterback is playing this early in the season.
Highlight courtesy of NFL Network. things are really good for the Bears right now.
And we zoom out sometimes and look at the NFC and dream big. There has been no division that has put four teams into the playoffs since the realignment to four divisions in 2002. It did happen before that. But since 2002, it has not happened. And since 2020, with the expansion of the playoffs, it's even more possible. So it's conceivable, but it's a long shot for that to happen.
There is still a contingent of people that are like, do it against a good team. They're channeling their inner Stu Gatz. Shout out to the Levitard show. Do it against a real team. And that was given some fuel by our friend Robert Mays, who is really amazing at what he does and does the Athletic Football Show. We've played a bunch of his clips with Sean McVay, one of the best football people in the world, loves the Bears, talks about the Bears, tweets about the Bears all the time. He tweeted this after the game. I do this for context as people think about where the Bears are and what this means moving forward. Their past three opponents are literally the worst three defenses in football. Things will get bumpy again, and that's okay. That being said, real progress from the QB every week. And then he shows you that they are ranked 30th, 31st, and 32nd. Carolina, the Rams, Jacksonville.
I have an update. The New Orleans Saints, after their historically bad performance against Tampa Bay, they are now dead last.
They gave up 51 points in that game.
Gave up a 50-burger. But yes, so they are 5 yards worse than the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now it's 29, 30, and 31. But the point remains the same.
And so there were people that were – I saw it last night on Twitter. I've seen it in the text messages today. I've seen it from people inside of the chat.
Guess what? It's not going anywhere because the Rams are fifth worst. So literally the 5-4-3-2 are the four Bears wins.
Well, see, there you go. And that's okay. Here's my thing about all of this. I say it a lot. You'll hear me say it all the time. Winning buys you time. It buys you time. And this buys you time. You're into your off week where you can get some guys healthy and ready to go. This would feel so much worse. Like, it's only one game, but it would feel so much worse had the Bears lost yesterday. It would feel like the beginning of the end for them. You're going, oh, well, now they got to go and take on Washington, and they don't play at home until the middle of November, and all of this stuff. You can only play who's on your schedule when they're on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather be in the place where the Bears are winning those games than squeaking by.
Well,
they're blowing these teams out, and that's what they need to do.
Well, for us, for sure, and for fans, for sure, but I think you're talking about the players, too, man. It's like, because Olin was speaking on this morning, it's a great time to teach. After you win is a great time to teach. There is a list of things that they need to work on here during the bye week, because they're not a perfect team by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
And like, it's they've got a few things that they need to do, and we can touch on them tomorrow. I could reference Jer Olin this morning on silent counts.
Yes.
Said they went silent count on the first two drives, and Jacksonville was getting off the ball faster than the Bears were. And that was part of the 2-3 and outs. So better get ready to deal with silent counts better than that for your next two road games coming up at Washington and at Arizona.
We're going to find out if they're competitive with the teams inside their division. For sure, we're going to find that out. But for now, it allows for hope. And that hope is not just for the fan base. That hope is for inside the building too, where they do come home and they get to smile and be with their families and get their bodies worked on and do all of this stuff without that dark cloud hanging over them of having lost two games that they probably should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Now they get to just relax and take this week and relax and then say, okay, now let's get ready for a step up in class. And I'm not even sure what Washington is yet, but it's better than what you've seen over the last couple of weeks.
All right, so let me ask you this. Over the next 10 days, 12 days. Tomorrow's 12 days, right? Before that Commanders game, there's going to be a ton of who have they played? Who have you played? You're going to get it everywhere. You, the Bears fan, driving out there. You, in your cube. You, across the glass. You're going to get it.
Huh?
We need to arm people with some things that they can say. So you've given them some. Winning buys us time to get better. How's your team doing? Or, you know, if you want to turn it about, you could certainly do that. We can only play as on our schedule, man. Some of those basics right there.
And if you don't think the quarterback is better after watching, even with him playing against bad NFL defenses, mm-hmm. if you don't think the quarterback has been getting better, I would say that you're not watching the games.
I think that is entirely correct. And you could also point out the combined score of 71-26.
Yes.
Of the last two games.
That's right.
It is not, you didn't just squeak by these teams. You beat the hell out of these two teams.
And isn't this what you want your team to do? Like, I hate cross sports comparisons, but when the Cubs went to Colorado with the season on the line last year and this year, isn't that what you wanted them to do?
This is uncalled for.
You wanted them to go and beat them down, right? Well, the Bears are doing that, and they deserve credit for that. And now we'll see. With this Washington game, I'm looking forward to it for a lot of different reasons. It'll give us another data point. But even if they lose the Washington game, it's not over. They're still all six of your games that are inside of the division and another game the week after inside of your conference. There's a lot of season left. Think about it this way. There's 11 games left. Like, just...
it's a lot of games, man.
There's 3 months of football left.
You know what? That's plenty of time for the Vikings to come back to life.
Sure is. Or not.
Or not back to life. Back to the ground. Back to earth.
To life. Back to reality. Back to the here and now, yeah.
Is that the Bill Nye theme song?
Yeah. No. He's the science guy.
That's pretty good. Damn. Falsetto right
He's
there.
Not soul to soul.
Soul to soul.
But is that the instrumental that they use for the Bill Nye theme song? Because it sounds like it.
Bill Nye the science guy.
We got to start a group.
I love that.
Me and Shane.
You and Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little vocal group.
We'll call it Brother Not and Not Brother.
Well, we could do a doo-wop thing now. Three of us can really sing together. We just need a fourth one. Tanny can sing. Can he?
Maybe Sean can sing. We don't know.
Tanny won't sing.
Definitely can't sing.
Yeah, Tanny. No? Sean. Tanny might be able to sing, but he certainly won't sing.
No, he won't do it.
The thing that Tanny has done recently that he really didn't want to do, but he still did it, was reading the part of Montez.
He was so great.
He was so great.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
He was so great.
The second episode, because it's a double London episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
We have the wrap-up. So we'll do it tomorrow Thursday, maybe.
That's exciting.
So that's Montez.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, I thought he was going to play the theme.
We don't have time.
That was scary there.
We don't have time.
I know, no. But Sean is on the board.
Our showrunner's back. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
We don't have time.
Our showrunner is on the show tomorrow, so maybe we do it tomorrow.
Speaks, what are you going to do in the last segment?
Two things. One, the biggest storyline of the week continued with some Matt Eberflus today, and there's a contrary opinion that needs to get out there about it. And then let's have some absurd fun with England for one last time.
I like that idea. It's next. Spiegel and Holmes with you till 6 on the score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the score and not just kidding.
Afternoons on the score.
So the storyline from last week was the Bears not having a first 15 plays scripted out. And Lawrence Holmes became the mayor of Worrytown. And Worrytown was a very popular destination on Friday and over the weekend. There was a council meeting today in Worrytown, and Lawrence was the only one there. So there's not a lot of people worried.
Someone has to stay. I mean, that's my job as the mayor of Worrytown. Someone's got to keep the lights on and make sure there are places for everyone when they come back to Worrytown.
You are committed, and that's good. And, you know, DJ Moore talked about it this morning, how it ends up, he thinks, being a good thing that the offensive coordinator listened and they eventually pivoted to have a first 15. Here's Matt Eberflus talking about the first 15 when he addressed the media this morning, because there's something else that needs to be said about this.
Yeah, I don't know if that's completely all the way accurate. I mean, we always have openers that we practice, you know, and that's a big part of it. And so we have several plays listed as openers. So openers are plays that you're going to use on first and second down. And then obviously you go to your third down script based on the distances. And that's what pretty much everybody does. That was just more of a, you know, communicating with the leadership of the offense, you know, with Shane and myself to be able to, you know, put those in order. You know, so we put those in order so the guys knew exactly what play one was, play two, so forth, like, and what the first third down plays were, and kind of working that way. So, you know, that's an important part of it. You know, guys can practice that. They can rehearse it mentally in their minds. They can rehearse it, you know, obviously in the walkthroughs that they did prior to the game, and just basically putting those in order. So that's really all it was. But again, it's just about good communication, you know, guys working together to get to the right answer, not necessarily your answer, but it's always going to be the right answer for the group.
And again, Lawrence, he's going to do a flow chart, like a scientific flow chart of this plus that equals this.
You know something else that you rehearse?
A script?
A script!
Okay, well, they got it now. It's all set now. They've got it under control.
Yes.
This is a good thing, don't you think?
I do. I absolutely think it's a good thing.
I think it is a good thing. Shane, didn't you think it's a good thing now that they have a first 15?
Yeah, I mean, but why go 3 and out on your first 2 drives if you have your first 15? What happened there?
See, now that...
What happened there?
It's possible that they didn't practice their script.
I mean, but you heard Olin talk about it last Friday, that he's sitting in that hotel room on Saturday nights going over every possible scenario.
So is Kurt Warner.
So is Kurt Warner, and he'll tell us that tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But it is absolute garbage. If you have a scripted first 10, first 7, first 15, first 20, whatever, where you're in no huddle and you know what's going on, you're not going 2 straight 3 and outs.
You know what I
even
think?
Even after that first, sorry, Speaks, one more.
Good.
Even after your first 3 and out, the second one, you're resetting your first 15. You're going again. It doesn't happen 2 times in a row.
I think that the silent count was a big deal, that Jacksonville was getting off the ball. And then I'll tell you this. You know who I thought could have done more on both of those third downs? Quarterback. I'll say it. Quarterback on the first 3rd and 5 when he took the sack, I thought he might have been able to get away from that pocket and create a little back a little bit. 3rd and 7 when he throws the incompletion to Roshan. It's another one where he's like, he doesn't really get away. He dips down and he throws the ball into Matt Pryor's helmet.
So are you saying that the plays themselves could have worked?
I'm saying the plays themselves could have worked. That could have worked. But I think the silent count was an issue and he got pressured on both third downs. And I think that Caleb actually could have done a little more with those plays.
Even if it doesn't work, process over results, it should be the way that they go about doing things.
I am chalking those two series up to a 22-year-old kid being in London playing for the first time. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, you know, that's a long way to stretch that.
It might be. But like, if they come out against Washington in a week and a half and 2 weeks and we see 2, 3, 4 straight 3 and outs again, then I start to get a little bit worried. Because in that second half, in the back half of the first half, Caleb came out and adjusted for what Shane Waldron wasn't doing for him. I saw that.
Or Shane Waldron and the offense adjusted.
Sure.
That's the part that
you can adjust what works or doesn't.
Put everything back together. If we're saying that the players went to Shane Waldron and said, this isn't how it's done, and he was like, cool, let's get on the same page, then that means that there hopefully is a better line of communication all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the most important part about this, is that you had an issue and you addressed it. And there weren't people that were just out here hiding or telling you that it wasn't an issue.
No, I love that.
They worked through it.
You've got,
that should be celebrated.
You've got thesis and then antithesis, and now hopefully you have synthesis as you move forward. And the last thing we wanted to make sure we got in was this supercut from Chris Tannehill of the completely odd, sort of adorable, but probably also to the beat writers, very annoying questions from the British press in attendance for post-game yesterday.
Coach, you mentioned the fans there at the beginning, and there was definitely the feel of a home game out there with the atmosphere and the noise. How much of an impact would you say that had on your team's performance?
I think a big impact.
Brian Thomas has had an impressive start to his rookie career, but he had three catches today. Mm-hmm. How did you manage to neutralise him so effectively?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player.
You guys arrived on Tuesday very early in the week. Did that make a difference in terms of when you were here last time with the Chargers, in terms of arriving that early, in terms of the jet lag and getting accustomed to?
Yeah, I'll say so.
Keenan, Caleb just referred to you as like an older brother figure throughout his time with the Bears. Mm-hmm. Would you also see him as a younger brother? Is that the relationship you've got?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're the second rookie quarterback in London to ever win a game after Trevor Lawrence did so in 2021. Yeah. So how did your experience today playing in London compare to the build-up, the conjecture, the discussion going into the game?
Yeah, it was great.
What's it like having Keenan Allen in this offense, obviously getting his two touchdowns today, first time scoring a Bears touchdown for him? What's it like having him on the field?
Yeah.
Coach, how is Kyler Gordon?
Oh, God. You had a wonderful game. Why did that feel good, and how did it feel good? Your thoughts?
I didn't think their questions were that crazy.
Second, third, sixth, and seventh voices all Irish, not just British out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Second, third, sixth, and seventh, all Irish.
Lawrence doesn't want to support me laughing at the foreigners. He thinks that's a bad idea.
Speaks, you and I are simpatico on this. We should always laugh at foreigners, in my opinion.
Only ones that are asking football questions.
Yes.
To be clear.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Yes. As long as that's...
No, in this setting. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. That came off very wrong. In this setting.
In this setting.
Especially on this day.
Yes.
It's...
Well, I'm going to stand up and say I'm anti-Christopher Columbus.
Oh. Okay.
You switched the samples.
What?
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
It is Columbus Day, right? Isn't that today?
I was speaking of indigenous people.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we are for them.
Right.
Anti-Christopher Columbus.
They're
bad guy.
They're not foreigners.
No.
No. This is their country.
Very much not foreigners.
Shout out to the Oneidas.
They should get more than just today. Christopher Columbus should get no days.
All right. Well, you have staked out your position on that one.
Yep. Yep. If Tanny were here, he'd play the Tony Soprano Christopher Columbus drop.
He would.
Or he'd play something from The Fugitive just for fun. You never know.
Switch the samples. Provasic. Does that mean that Grody's coming up next to take us to Monday Night Football?
No, just miss him. Just miss him. That's
fair enough. Fair enough.
Great job today, Sean Sears.
Sean, you really did a great job.
Grody is coming up, though.
He is coming up. You should have believed in yourself.
Come on.
Believe in yourself, Sean.
I knew he was. I was just messing around with you guys. But yeah, Grody's up next.
For Sean and Shane and Speaks, I'm Lawrence. We will see you tomorrow at 2:00. Thanks for all the love. See you tomorrow here on The Score.